everyone, and welcome back to the Caffeine and Anxiety Podcast. I'm Jane.
And I'm Kristen.
Do you know what I was thinking, actually? You know Bretman Rock?
Yes.
How he introduces himself? Like singer, songwriter, actress, yes. Like scientist, specialist. I feel like I need to start doing that. Mm-hmm.
Weightlifter, videographer.
Co-host.
Podcaster.
Yeah, literally. Model. Not actually, but I wish. Anyway, so how you doing?
I'm good. Actually, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. How are you doing?
Unwell.
Yeah.
Visually, I am unwell.
Yeah, so Jane came into my house today, and I was like, are you okay? Because it looked like she had been crying. She wasn't crying.
No, my eyes literally look like I'm high or something.
It looks like you haven't slept in, like, ages.
That's how it feels. So I don't know. So I'm on this new arthritis medication, and it's just making me, I think that's what it is. Like, that's the only logical answer.
Yeah. It's like a heavy arthritis medication where you have to, like, get blood work
every two weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm getting blood work on Monday. So I'm going to ask the doctor about it then. But I'm just so freaking exhausted. Like, I was out in Wentworth this weekend skiing, and driving home, I had to put the AC on full blast. I, like, pulled over to a gas station and got Sour Patch Kids so I could, like, eat and be kind of awake.
God.
And I'm literally, if you would have saw me, people probably thought I was psychopath because I would, like, yell to, like, try and wake myself up. I know that sounds insane, but I think it actually helps.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then I just got home and I crashed, and then I had a good sleep that night, and then I woke up, I guess this morning I woke up and I literally was exhausted. So then I didn't go into the office. I was like, okay, I'm going to go in at lunchtime. I didn't set an alarm or anything. Anyways, and then I wake up, so I probably slept from 9:30 to 12, woke up, ate breakfast, very late breakfast, and then from eating breakfast, I was exhausted again. So then I tried to go back to sleep, but I just laid there for like an hour.
Oh,
and then I finally tried to get my life together, and then I went to the gym, and I do think the gym helped me wake up a little bit, but it was just, I just need an answer. Like, I cannot feel like this.
Mm-hmm. Like we were discussing earlier, it could just be like getting used to the medication, because I know when you and I both started our anxiety medication for the first like couple weeks, it's your body and brain adjusting, so you just feel like shit for a couple weeks. So
yeah,
it could
and
be
I remember being super tired on Ciprolex, and I feel like, so this new arthritis medication, I start, like, the first week, I do one pill. Mm-hmm. Second week, I do two pills. Third week, I do three pills. And finally, on the fourth week, I'm going to be doing four pills.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just, like, my body's adjusting to me going up in dosages. You
that
know what I mean?
That is insane. Like, what is happening to you?
I know. And also, so my arthritis medication, I have to take it with food. So because I woke up so late, like I ate breakfast at like 12 o'clock or whatever, walking, I could feel the pain in my ankle, just because usually I take it at like 9 o'clock in the morning. So just those few hours, I can like feel it.
So how is your anxiety this week then with all this happening?
I don't think it was too bad. Again, I just feel like I'm the same story, like on repeat. I just feel like I get anxious when my house is messy, and then I just...
Is that the only thing that makes you anxious?
Well, some work stuff makes me anxious.
Yeah.
But
like, what gives you like anxiety? Like, I know like it doesn't help your anxiety, but like...
A messy house, like when I fall behind on laundry, when I there's dishes in the sink, crumbs on the counter, like it's gotta go.
Yeah.
So really that's the only, I don't think that's the only thing that gives me anxiety, but like, you know, when you're sitting there and you just want to be relaxing, but then you see like the laundry basket, but then your anxiety makes you not want to do it. And then you just think about doing it, and it's like, you're just procrastinating it, and you're just like a ball of
So those are
stress.
Like, so like having a messy house is probably like the immediate things that like connect you to your anxiety.
100%.
But like your anxiety is probably like the fact that you like physically can't do it, but then you know it's going to give you anxiety.
I know. And I find also like our emails give me anxiety.
Really?
Yeah. Like if I don't look at it for a day, I like don't then I don't want to look at it because I know there's things that we have to answer.
Yeah.
And then that gives me anxiety not looking at it.
Right.
It's just like a cycle. But you just gotta bite the bullet and just open it up. And then you'll literally feel so much better after that.
I know. And it's usually just like, hey, are you available for my wedding next year?
I know. It's nothing scary. Like, no. I don't know why I make it in my head this super crazy
thing. It's just like, because we like... I feel like you and I, like, in our lives, like, we control every aspect. We can't control what comes in there. We don't know what we're going to, like, look at when we open up our inbox. So maybe that's why.
Something that I find that really helps with the whole email thing is Katie actually taught us this, is make all the different files.
Yeah.
So for us, it's like 2021 clients, and then each client has their own folder. And anytime they email us and we answer it, I just like drag it over to that folder.
Yeah.
And then we do it for like corporate clients, live streaming. Yeah. Like everything.
Yeah.
And I find having an inbox that's not like 100 pages.
Like it used to be.
Yeah. Because that literally used to be us. And it took us, I remember it took me days to actually organize our inbox.
Yeah.
But I
could, it was like a couple of years ago.
I could never go back now.
No, me neither. Even though like you did it, like I feel like if you didn't, I would have to like be like, okay, we got to figure this out.
Yeah. How was your anxiety this week?
Good. I like feel like a like weight has been lifted off of me because I've been kind of figuring out like what's physically wrong with me.
Oh yeah. How's your diarrhea?
My diarrhea is great. I got blood work. So the inflammatory markers were high. So you said yours were high when you went in for your arthritis.
Do you remember, did they tell you a number or something?
No, he would just said that they're elevated. He didn't say they were like off the charts or anything like
for
that.
When I went in and had my like very first flare up, I think. Any nurses listening to this, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure average levels is like a 6 or something, and mine was in the low hundreds.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yep. Mine was just like elevated, so he didn't seem like, oh my God, like we need to get you to the ER. But it's been really good because I still don't have an answer, but I have like a pathway, if that makes sense. So I need to like go get a colonoscopy.
Fun times. Yeah,
super fun. They like get you nice and high and then they stick a camera up your butt.
Oh, they get you high? That's good then.
Oh, yeah. That would kill.
I thought maybe they put some lube on it or something.
Oh, they probably do. So I had to have like a rectal exam last night.
Oh, how was that?
It was just like...
Do they get you high for
that? I was just going to say something. I'm like, I hope my mom isn't listening. So I've never like had anal sex before.
Yeah.
But... It was like a lot of pressure and I was like, I could never do this.
Yeah, probably.
It hurt.
I bet.
And like, I feel like he knew it hurt. So you have to have like, my doctor is a male and you have to have a female in the room. So the receptionist came in, but he was like, he could totally tell that I was uncomfortable, like with the feeling. Cause he's like, I'm almost done. Sorry.
I feel like clenching my butt cheeks or something.
So, but there was nothing there. Thank God. So, like we discussed last week, there is blood in my stool, but turns out that was on the outside caused by the diarrhea. This is totally crazy. But you know, like some like nurses or doctors are like, oh, that's nothing. Or like moms.
I know. So, I swear, like I could never
be diarrhea. Oh.
No, you're saying diarrhea and I'm like, ew. Like,
yeah.
My mom is so bad for that. She'll tell my mom's not a nurse or anything, but she literally gives zero fucks about farting, poops, anything. She'll be like, we actually had to get her a key cut for my house because so she lives further down the road than me. So if you're just getting like off the highway or something and she has to poop, she'll like come to my house and poop. She's done that so many times. And I'm just like,
you come home in your house. You're like, no, mom, are you here?
She got me for Christmas those Just a Drops.
What are those?
It's like you drop it in your toilet before
like,
you poop.
Like poopery.
Yeah. But kind of like the dollar store version of poopery. Anyways, and she was like, I'm so glad I bought you those Just the Drops or whatever. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Anyway, so I find that stuff kind of disgusting, but.
So, feeling good. Still don't know what's going on. I had like blood tests. There's a whole bunch of shit that I can't eat, like Jane. And so I'm figuring it out. And it's just like, you might feel this now, like not knowing is so scary. That's what gives me anxiety. Like, what is wrong with me? Like, I have no idea. And then you Google. Also, my doctor told me not to Google it.
I know, that's and probably the worst thing that you can do.
Oh yeah, the C word, like
the C word.
Cancer.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were thinking. And then you're like, great, like I'm dying tomorrow.
That was like, I know I shouldn't Google this stuff, but I was like, because the reason I have to get blood work every 2 weeks is because the arthritis medication I'm on, like, has a very, very slim chance of doing this, but I guess it can lower your white blood cell count. Yeah. So then I Googled what happens to your body when your white blood cell count goes down.
It attacks itself.
Yeah, it's just like not good. And then I was like, it said something about like your, what's in here, your neck?
Lymph nodes?
Yeah, it said something about them like expanding. Then I was touching my neck. I was like, oh my God, my neck kind of hurts. Yeah. Like just making all this stuff in my head. I was like, Janie needs to stop doing this.
Yeah. So yeah, my anxiety has been good.
So how, I'm just confused. So you can't eat like a bunch of shit now, but like how did they figure that out?
It's just like a precaution. Oh. So like typically now when I eat, I don't feel good. So, it's basically like the only thing I like feel good having is like coffee and water.
That is so wild.
Yeah. But like, I love food. So
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like most people would lose weight in this situation and I'm just like, fuck it. Like, give me diarrhea.
Oh my God. And I find like going back to the thing of like not knowing.
Yeah.
With me when I had all my allergies. And
that was a long time.
Yeah, it took, the process was so frustrating. It was almost like
2 years.
I know, it took so long. And then when they told me all the things that I can't eat, I honestly like didn't even care. Like when I tell people my allergies, they're like, oh, that's shitty. And I'm like, honestly, I'm thankful that I know them.
Yeah.
Because now I have like nice skin.
Right. And I'm getting to that point. I'm getting to the point where I like don't want to feel this way. Like I had dinner tonight and my stomach was like, it was burning. Like I don't even know how to describe it. It's like it's sunburnt. Like that's what it felt like. Yeah.
That sounds, it doesn't feel good.
So yeah, I'm just like, I'm getting to that point where I'm just going to be like, I don't care. Like I need to figure this out. But it almost comes in like flares, which is really weird. So the last, I do not have arthritis. The last 3 weeks I've been good. I think I like told you that last week. And I documented it, in my notes on my phone. I said like January 27th, that was like the last day I like really felt like crap. And then literally the Sunday before I go to the doctor, I like start feeling like shit again. So, my doctor thinks it might be a type of, inflammatory bowel disease, which would be Crohn's or colitis, but we don't know yet, and we'll see. I'm not going to psych myself out because it could just be
something else.
What if it's a gluten allergy? Like, I don't fucking
seriously
know.
Seriously, what would be the one, like, food that you would die to give up?
Oh my, probably like potatoes.
Yeah.
Like french fries, potato chips.
Wow.
I love a good poutine.
Oh my God. I know that's something I miss so very much.
We're drinking some Aperol spritz tonight.
Very exciting. There's such good vibes here. You know, we're coming to you live from Vegas, Sac Vegas.
Only the best.
Yes, something that I wanted to talk to you about because I dread going to this place.
Where?
Costco.
Oh, yeah.
Because I actually feel like that gives me anxiety. Everyone in there is so fucking aggressive with their huge-ass carts, and I'm just not that type of aggressive person. They're in there, like, slamming it.
You
just
have to know how to Costco. So when I first got my membership, me and my mom went, and we were like, people are so rude.
That's what I think.
But everybody just does it. And I'm like, so now I'm that way. And I brought my mom last week and she was like, I just can't go there alone.
Oh my God. I think I would actually like cry if I was there by myself.
You just have to be as rude as the other people.
I know, but it just kind of hurts my heart.
I know. It does suck. I also get anxiety there. I feel like that it's like there's something in the air there too that gives me, like, I feel like we talked about this before and I get it at Costco and I get it at IKEA.
Ooh, IKEA is another bad one too. Yeah. Like, so, I don't actually really enjoy going to IKEA.
Do you remember one time you told me, like, you were like, I got hot and I got like sweaty and I like had to leave? And
yeah, so my Nick and I went to IKEA one time and I just had like a sweater on, my jacket on, my purse across me, my mask on.
And there's so many people there.
There's so many people there. And then we were checking out and I like couldn't find my debit card. And I literally was like this close to crying. Yeah. I was so overwhelmed, and luckily Nick just like tapped for me, and then we just like got out of there, and I just e-transferred him later because I literally was like about to cry. And I was telling him, I was like, I could actually cry. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, that was so stressful.
So I felt that way once at IKEA, twice at Costco, and I was like asking my mom, I'm like, I felt like I was gonna throw up. Like, it's like, this is the only way I can like explain it. You know, in movies when something is happening to someone and all around them it's blurry and slow motion and all they can see is the blur. Do you know what I mean?
100% know what you mean.
Yeah, that's how I describe the feeling. It's a panic attack. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
That's what it is. You're having a panic attack. Like, you're overwhelmed, you're hot, there's people. Like, it's like the highest form of anxiety.
I feel like...
Isn't that wild?
That is wild. I feel like next time, if I ever have to go to Costco or IKEA, I'm going to, like, leave my jacket in the car, like, only bring in my debit card, like, in a pocket or something, so I don't get super hot and, like, feel, like, claustrophobic almost from the mask and everything, and then go on, like, a weekday morning sometime when there's not a lot of people.
And there's no windows in those places. So I wonder if that also, like, has to do with, like, getting really, like, warm and, like, do you know what I mean?
That kind of makes sense.
Because I can go around a mall with a jacket on, excuse me, and be fine. But yeah, when I'm in those places, like, I literally get panic attacks.
I know, it's so scary.
Wild.
But I saw, the reason why I brought that up is because I saw someone on Instagram post about Costco anxiety, and I was like, Kristen, we need to talk about this. Like, I thought, again, I thought it was just something like that, like, maybe I dealt with. I didn't know it was an actual thing.
Oh yeah. So I mean, Costco is so great because it's like a well-oiled machine. They like, you're in and you're out. Like, you see a long lineup that you're only in that lineup for like max 10 minutes and then you're out of there. But yeah, I totally get that. If anyone knows the perfect time to go to Costco, drop us a comment.
Yeah, please let us know. Have you ever had a Costco hot dog?
No, but I've had their poutine.
Is it good?
Oh, it's like $5 for this massive thing, except it shows you the calories. I swear to God, it's well over 1,000 calories.
Okay, do you know
it's like 1,800.
You know in Friends when Phoebe first sees Monica and Chandler like kissing, and Ross
Monica!
Is like, my eyes. That's literally me whenever I see like a menu with the calories posted. Oh, I'm like, my eyes.
Totally. Okay, so Jane.
So Kristen.
I really wanted to get your hot take on this article that I read today.
Okay.
It like really got me fired up. I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Mom shamed by school parents for racy $200,000 a month job. A mom who sells sexy snaps online has been shamed by fellow parents who started a campaign against her raunchy career move. Tiffany Poindexter of California makes more than $150,000 US a month selling X-rated content taken by her husband to the subscription-based app OnlyFans. However, the mother of three claims that after some parents discovered her account last year, they began a petition to have her kids kicked out of school. Okay, then it goes on to say, some women from my area actually printed out pictures I posted on my OnlyFans and mailed them to the principal of my children's school.
Okay, I just gotta stop you right there because they're subscribing to her OnlyFans to get those photos, so make that money,
totally.
Tiffany. That is so messed up. And like, how would they even discover that? That's like the husbands are on OnlyFans finding.
So it goes, I think like the husband actually like says a quote like that in the article where he's like, well, clearly like their husbands are enjoying it. So it also goes on to say in the article that she doesn't do like porn or anything. It's just X-rated. I'll show you a photo of her.
Sexy lingerie photo. Honestly, good for Tiffany. She's confident. She's making money.
Honestly.
Like, what the heck?
I'll show you a picture here. Like, this is, like, the type of stuff she posts.
Oh, what the heck? She looks fabulous. Oh, my God. That's not even, like...
No, that's from her OnlyFans.
So, in that photo, she's just wearing, like, a tight red dress with some, like, thigh-high, like...
Garter
Something things. Like that. Okay, that... I'm, like, getting, like, passionate.
I got really fired up over it because I just think that, like, A, who the fuck cares what people do to make their money? B, like, you're probably just jealous that you're not making $150,000 a month.
Yeah.
Your husband taking a picture of you.
I love that her husband takes the photos for her. Yes.
It's like a business. Yeah. It's a family business. Love that. But yeah, I was just like so fired up. So like we've been having the discussion a lot lately about like OnlyFans and how women are making so much money from it. And we think it's awesome.
I think I like.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would ever have the balls to do it, but I totally love when women can do it.
I totally agree. It's also like women owning their sexuality. And then, of course, it's all these men saying, oh, she's a whore, she's this, she's that. But like men are allowed. Okay, it's so funny because like men take women home and they're like the man and they're the best to all their friends. And like women own their sexuality and it makes them whores.
I do not understand that whatsoever. No. Like it's such a double standard. It's so annoying. And also
it's so
like
frustrating.
The thing that I like about OnlyFans is like the women are taking them photos themselves or like their husbands are doing it and like they know like they're portraying themselves how they want to be portrayed.
Totally. And it's also a safe way to do it. I mean, of course, like you might deal with little psychos, like who doesn't?
Yeah.
But it's like a safe way to do it. It's a great way for them to make money. I don't know. I think it's awesome. But again, like it's a little different for people. So if you choose a career path that like our careers, like will we, there'd be a chance that we wouldn't book a client if they knew we were on OnlyFans because they want to surround themselves with professional people. That's fine. Like but I understand that's a part of my job.
I do understand, but just because they're on OnlyFans, I don't think that makes them not professional.
Right. But to us, but to them.
Exactly. Everyone so, has their own opinion. Thoughts about OnlyFans.
So I understand why some women like don't do it. Like, I don't think we could do it. Like Jane's going in Miss Canada.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a good look.
Yeah. But I am here for women who do.
Me too. And then again, me just saying, I don't think that would be a good look. That is... I shouldn't have even put it that way. Like, I just don't think it would align with the Miss Canada pageant values. And values.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But yeah, I just think it's amazing when women are just like, they have such balls and they're like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm owning my sexuality, making money. Like, these women are making so much money. It is insane.
So a friend of ours, hopefully we'll have her on the podcast sometime. She, did an OnlyFans and donated 25%.
Yep, to Adsum House.
To Adsum House, which is a women's shelter here in Halifax. And she ended up donating how much?
Like 900, I think.
Yeah, it was like almost $1,000. And we're like, so we did the math and we're like, holy shit, she made a lot of money. Like, good
and,
for
and
you.
And it was only, I think, in like a month or something.
Yeah, it's insane. So if you're on OnlyFans, good for you.
Props to you. I feel like I need to burp again. This Aperol spritz is like...
it's carbonated.
Yeah. Some news that just recently broke that has me really heartbroken is the Kimye divorce. And I'm just like... I just really thought they were OTP, like one true pair. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not sad about it.
Really?
I'm not.
I'm sad. I was like in denial like when all that stuff was going around about like Kanye and Jeffree Star. Actually, I did believe that for a hot second just because I'm so gullible.
I was here for that.
I was here for that. And then someone said to me like, imagine if Kanye West ran for president and then Jeffree Star was first lady.
Oh my God, iconic.
Jeffree Star is a first lady. Like, I would die. Anyways, I just feel sad, especially for North, where she's, like, the oldest. I just know that's going to be hard for her, and it's just sad to see.
I don't know if, I mean, like, I think it will be hard for her, but a lot of sources were saying that they basically, for the last like 2 or 3 years, have lived very separate lives.
I know.
He was
in
Wyoming, and like she was in Calabasas, and like they were just used to like Kanye taking the kids on like some weeks and like her taking the kids. So I think, and they also said that it was like one of the most amicable divorces ever.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because in the court docs, it was like they're totally doing like 50-50 child custody. So that just goes to show that, yeah, it must have been amicable. But I'm just like,
I don't think anything will change for the kids. I think that all it is now is paperwork.
Could you imagine if Kim got back with Chris Humphries?
Ew.
Okay, I think he's a total ass. From what I've gathered from watching, like, Kim and Courtney take New York or whatever that was.
He tried to sue her for, like, fraud because she divorced him.
But they were just in two totally different stages in their life.
No!
You know, they weren't even living together. Like, maybe he's a changed man.
No. He's not even on her radar.
I know, but who was that one that we were, like...
Van Jones?
Yeah.
Okay, here for Van Jones. So, I just think, like...
Who is Van Jones?
Van Jones is a political commentator who, like, on CNN, who's worked with Kim in the prison reform realm of things. And he also was a part of Obama's White House staff. So he's, like, very tall, gorgeous.
Dark, handsome.
Yes, like, a very – and just smart and intelligent. Not that Kanye wasn't, but I think he, like – is more aligned with her values.
She's just such an intelligent businesswoman. Yeah. And I think she definitely needs someone like on that side of things. Maybe not a rapper.
Totally.
Not
who can like support her and like she can support him back.
Yeah.
So it's like very hard to be in a relationship with somebody with a mental illness.
I know. I couldn't even imagine. That must have been so tough.
So... every time he, like, goes through an episode, like, you don't want to, you can't just disregard that person. So that would be, like, so hard. And I think, like, after a while, it probably took a toll, I would say.
I would say so, too. Obviously, we don't actually know anything, but we're just kind of guessing here.
I was also reading that one of the factors was, like, his like, political stances.
Yeah, because he's a Trump supporter, isn't he?
He was a Trump supporter, allegedly, and, like, him wanting to, like, run for president really, like, turned her off because it's such a serious thing to a woman who's studying to be a lawyer and who, like, wants to concentrate in prison reform. Like, and Kanye West is just being, like
joking about running for president.
Right. It's a serious thing, especially in the U.S. with, like, Black Lives Matter and immigration and all those important things, climate change, and just, like, the way the social trajectory is going in the U.S. And, like, to just be like, I'm going to run for president
Kanye
because
2020.
I'm Kanye West.
Honestly, who would you put Kanye West with? I feel like Jeffree Star.
If Kanye is gay, like...
Or bisexual,
like, that it would be huge for the world.
I know.
Just because you don't often see Black men, like, masculine Black men...
And rappers
who are gay.
I know. Lil Nas.
Yes.
He's gay.
Lil Nas X.
Yep.
So, anyway, here for whatever happens with them. So happy that we can see more from Kim in her new Hulu show.
Oh my god. Can we get Hulu?
No, we cannot. But Crave has been taking a lot of Hulu shows. Like, the Britney doc is coming on Crave, and it was on Hulu.
Okay, good, because I can't live my life without Kardashian content.
So on that streaming platform moment... did you watch Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel?
Yes, and that is like, so I obviously knew about the case, but I never really dove into it like you did. Like, I don't even know. So that was 2007. So how old would I have?
2013.
Oh, what did I think? 2007?
I don't know.
Anyway, so I was kind of young, I think. I probably just wasn't paying attention.
You're in grade 11.
Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention.
Grade 11? No, grade 12.
No.
We started school in 2014.
Yeah, you're right. Anyways.
You just weren't into true crime then.
No, I was just like, yeah, I was just like, oh, what's the drama going on at Sir John A? Like, that was my vibe. Anyways, but
what's the drama at my high school today?
What's the tea, everyone? Anyways, so I wasn't like super aware of it. I just remember seeing the elevator video of Elisa Lam. Yeah, it was
all over YouTube.
Anyway, so then I saw it on Netflix. I literally started it on like a Sunday at like 9 a.m. with my coffee. I was like, oh, great way to start the day. And then I literally couldn't turn it off. Yeah. Did you watch it?
I did watch it. So I like knew about this when it was happening. Like, I'm probably a lawyer in my past life. I'm a true crime addict. And I, like, my hero, my idol is Nancy Grace.
Oh, my God. Nancy Grace is an icon.
Unleash the lawyers. I love her. And she's just, I mean, a lot of people hate her, but that's how I got my true crime fix when she was on air. Yeah. So it was, I always thought all along that it wasn't, like, what people were making it out to be. Because this woman, Elisa Lam, had a lot of, like, mental health issues.
I didn't believe she was bipolar.
Yeah. So do you want to kind of tell the story of what happened?
So basically, it was this young woman. She's from Vancouver, mm-hmm. Canada, and she just wanted to, like, you know, live the young person life, go to L.A., see the world. So then she booked a room at the Cecil Hotel, which is known to be – I wonder if she knew that. Going into it.
Probably not. It's a hotel that's like...
it's close to Skid Row in LA.
Yeah, it's like within Skid Row. So a couple of floors are budget hotels for travelers, like almost like a hostel. Like you can get roomed with people. And then the other floors are for tenants that can pay like weekly rates. And it's scary. Like the Night Stalker, he was like this murderer, serial killer in California, I think in the 80s or early 90s. Like he stayed there.
Just like a bunch of sketchy ass shit happens at the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's there. She's roomed with a couple different girls. And I guess she must stop taking her medication, and she was leaving these really strange notes to her roommates.
She did stop taking her medication. Yeah. Like they counted the date on the prescription bottle, and she had way too many for when she got it filled.
And then the notes were like, go home, go away, like all this weird stuff. Anyways, and then she basically just went missing one day. So then they look at the security cameras in the hotel, and there's this really eerie video of her in the elevator, like pressing all the buttons, poking her head out, hiding in the elevator, standing outside and like moving her hands. It almost looked like she was possessed or something.
Yeah.
Like it was as if she was talking to someone, and none of the security footage showed her exiting the hotel. So they were just like, she must be in here.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets crazy. Like, people on the internet, all the web sleuths and everything, thought that she was murdered, and God knows, maybe she was. Like, we don't really know, but
that's where anyways, it got interesting.
They were interviewing a couple who was staying at the hotel during that time period, and they were complaining about the water pressure because it just like wasn't good, and it was almost like a brown tinge to it, and people were drinking, brushing their teeth with this water. So then the maintenance man went up and looked in the water tanks, and one of the lids was open, and he poked his head in, and there was Elisa Lam.
That is disgusting. Like,
can you imagine? Okay, so I was telling someone, we were talking about this story, and I guess on TikTok, there's, do you know that song, that sound where it's like, why is it spicy?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, oh. That was about them, like, drinking the water and be like, why is it spicy?
So the residents of the hotel were basically drinking water of a decomposing body.
Yeah, and she was in there for
19 days or something like that. So it's really sketchy. I think what makes it sketchy is the elevator video and how it looked like she was talking to somebody. At one point, they said they saw a shoe that wasn't Alyssa's or Lisa's.
I feel like that was her shoe. Like,
I know. It also showed that the video that was released by LAPD was doctored. So there were parts when it like slowed down or skipped or like,
I know, but
by the time code.
I don't know. I just feel like it's shitty security camera footage.
Yeah. It was just weird. And then the whole thing was, what were making people think that it was murder was the fact that the latch of the water tank was put back on. And how could she put that back on if she was in the water? Well, turns out
it was open. It was just a mistake.
Exactly. It was a mistake. So it was just lost in translation when everything was happening that day. So it's really weird, but I do think that it was, she was just like
trying to escape something. Yeah, that she was
having like a mental breakdown.
Yeah, it's just such an eerie documentary. I would definitely recommend watching it. Like, I found it really interesting. Yeah. And just like the Cecil Hotel in general, I can't believe that like so much bad things happened there. Like the manager. Yeah, the manager, she was there for 10 years and she said within those 10 years like 80 people died or.
Okay, we need to talk about the manager.
Did you get weird vibes from her?
I got such weird vibes from her. And when she was like, this is my kingdom, or the Cecil Hotel was my kingdom for 10 years. And like,
and why the fuck did she call her mom before the police when she found?
Right.
Like, I just found that really weird.
I think she might. Okay. Allegedly. I think she might have known about it.
Really?
I don't know. I think she might have known something was up and there she was just waiting for someone else to figure it out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, she just seemed a little...
She was just weird.
You would have to be a little off your rocker to work there for 10 mm-hmm. years and manage this crazy-ass place. Anyways, the story's crazy. I feel so sad for Elisa Lam's family, but it was just... And then I... Just where she was like a young Canadian girl, I almost just felt like a weird connection to her, and I just... It's just one of those, it's just such a devastating story. But yeah, I would definitely recommend watching Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. It was very interesting.
She's very brave for traveling by herself.
I know, I would not do that.
One more thing I kind of wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Was
the way you're looking at me, I just got scared.
I was just thinking about this when I was like, when we were reading about the OnlyFans thing, is like the female experience. Oh. Of being like a female and like the crazy shit that happens to females.
Like, for instance, I remember I was over at my friend's house when Priscilla was just a little puppy, and my friend lives like downtown Halifax, and I kept getting Nick to go take Priscilla out. I was like, oh, Nick, like, can you take her out? And then my friend was like making fun of the fact that I kept telling Nick to go take her out. But I was like, I'm a young girl. It's dark out in downtown Halifax. No fucking way am I going to take my dog out. Like, she can piss on your floor before I do that.
The female experience is having to get someone else take your dog out because you're too scared to do a simple task like that. I remember one time my brother was over at my house and he was leaving. And he said, do you want me to lock the door? And I said, yes. And like, the neighborhood I'm in, like, it's an older neighborhood where the people who've lived here have like lived here since the subdivision was developed.
And like, everyone knows everyone.
No one locks their doors. I shouldn't say this, but my brother literally will leave his keys in his car and his wallet in his car and leave it unlocked. Like, that's just how it is. And he was like, oh, like, you think somebody's going to come in around here? And I literally looked at him as serious as can be. And I was like, I'm a single female who lives alone. And he was like, oh yeah, you're right. And it's just the female experience. I have to lock my door in a community where people don't lock their doors.
Well, my stalker experience. Yes.
Tell the people.
Okay. So I had a really scary experience. I think, how even long ago was that?
You were living in the house you're living in now. So maybe like a little over a year ago.
Yeah. So it was just weird. You know how on Instagram, if you're not following the person, all the messages will go to like
requests.
Yeah. So you don't really look at them.
Yeah.
Anyways, so one day I didn't go into the office, and the next day I come into the office and Kristen is like catching me up on some email stuff, and she was like, oh, we got this really weird email about a guy who's inquiring about wedding videography for his friend. It's like soon, and he didn't even know the location. He was like, it could either be in Ontario or in Halifax. And we're like, okay, that's kind of weird.
And it was coming up in like 2 months.
Yeah, I'm like, if you were getting married in 2 months, I'm pretty sure you would at least know the location of your wedding. People right. plan this like years in advance. Anyways, and I look at the name and I'm like, oh my goodness, Kristen, I think that's the same name of this guy that keeps responding to my Instagram stories and messaging me.
This was like a Thursday.
Yeah.
And then we weren't there on the Friday.
And then
it was just the weirdest email. And like, you know, you can just tell when people are weird, or if you're being mystery shopped in email, you're like, oh, like, this is weird.
And trust your gut, because we were like, this
trust
is weird.
Trust your fucking gut.
And it ended up being fucking weird.
Yes.
So then we weren't in on the Friday. I guess he shows up at the office. Caitlin writes his name down on a sticky note with his number and is like, on the Monday, he's like, or Katie's like, oh, this guy came in to see you guys.
Well, we came in and there was a note there, and we like had called Caitlin and we were like, what is with this?
I know, and no one just shows up at our office.
No.
It's like known that it's only appointment only. It's not like we're a storefront or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then we connect that that's the same guy that was messaging me on Instagram and emailing. And then...
So in the matter of like 3 days, he had met, like DM'd Jane on Instagram, had emailed us, had come into our office and left a note with his name and number on it.
Yeah, and this is just like, God bless that we weren't there that day. Anyways, even though we knew it was some sketchy ass shit,
yeah,
we were like, oh, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Who knows? So then we book a meeting with him. He's 45 minutes late to this meeting.
Okay, and girls who are listening to this, just like follow your gut. So we had like even set up like safety precautions for this meeting. We decided that... Wait, this is the one that you took, right? You took with me?
We both were in the meeting.
Oh, we both took the meeting, but we decided that I was going to be the one who was like talking.
Yeah.
And then we decided that we were going to leave the door open so the girls in the office can hear if anything crazy happens.
Yeah. So, but again, give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Maybe he's just awkward. Like, who knows?
Because some people are.
Yeah. So 45 minutes late, comes in, and you know... Those memes where it's like, this meeting could have been an email. It definitely could have been. Kristen was like telling him the scheme. He would not look at me whatsoever, being so quiet, only looking at Kristen. The meeting was literally 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that day after the meeting, whatever.
It was fucking weird.
That day I wasn't feeling that good, so I didn't go into the gym that night. He shows up at my gym.
And Jane's gym isn't like Good Life. It's not like one of the big box gyms. It's like a privately owned small gym where like just her weightlift team is there when you go.
Yeah, and there was like CrossFitters there, yeah, and stuff. Anyways, thankfully I had told my, like, everyone who I go to the gym with, we're just like friends. So I was like, man, this shit is happening. Like, it's so weird. Anyway, so then my friend who was coaching through the system to like book in with the gym, you can sign in online. And Haley was like, my friend Haley, who was coaching there at the time, was like, Jane, what was that guy's name again? Like, this weird name popped up for class for the first time. Anyways, turns out it was the same name. So thank God, again, I wasn't feeling well, so I didn't go into the gym. Anyways, so just from my Instagram profile, he knew where I worked out. He knew where I worked. Like, it is just so crazy the things that people can gather from your online profile.
Didn't something else happen? Like, something happened that prompted us to be like, we should call the police.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Because on Halifax Noise, on the Instagram page, they shared that, like, women were getting really creeped out by this guy in, like, Clayton Park on a trail or something. And it matched the description.
It was a very... We're not going to go into what this gentleman looks like. But it was a very specific... description, like, yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So then I was like, oh my goodness, this is so crazy.
And he liked hiking.
Yes. And he liked going to the gym. He was like an active guy. Anyways,
he had a hiking profile if you Googled his name, because, like, you know, we fucking Googled his name.
Yeah, exactly.
And he had a hiking profile, and these women kept seeing this person they were talking about on a hiking trail.
Yep. So then I contacted the police, told them everything that was going on. And this part was kind of annoying because,
yeah,
so I called the police. I think it was like the non-emergency line just to make a report or something. So then I literally went into so much detail telling this woman what was going on. She was like, okay, I'll get someone to contact you. And then I think it was pretty quick. And then the guy called again and was like, oh, what's it on? So then literally she must have not said any of the information. So then again, I had to retell the story. And then that's when, like, I just feel so bad, you know, like
the female experience, yeah, people.
Could you imagine if something super
it's
traumatic?
It's our job to like make sure shit gets done because people don't take it seriously.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine if it was something super traumatic and I didn't like saying even the first time and then I had to go again? Anyway, so then
that's why people don't report a second time.
So then I was talking to the gentleman police officer who was so nice, and then he was like, okay, can you email this all to me? So I was like, okay. So then I got off the phone with him, called Kristen because she's really good at like the timeline stuff. Like, I'm not really good at that shit. Anyway, so we do up this huge email, send it to him, and then that night, God bless him, working fast. And I think it was at like 2 o'clock in the morning. He like, because when all this stuff was going on, it was just kind of late. He actually went to the guy's apartment, but he wasn't there. Anyways, so then it finally got.
And there were previous reports from other women about
him.
Yes,
that's what he mentioned. And also I saw that he went to another gym. So one of my friends, she's a coach there. So I texted her and I was like, oh, do you know this guy? She was like, yeah, he used to come in here, but he would creep out all the girls.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then basically the police officer said, if I ever even like visually see him again, to call 911.
Yeah.
But knock on wood, I've never seen him again since then. But the police officer did have like a talking to him and I don't know.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Did he say like what he said or just said, I talked to him?
Honestly, my memory is so freaking bad.
Yeah.
All I really remember is the police officer being like, if you visually see him again, call 911.
So I remember during that time, I was like, Jane, like, always be aware of your surroundings. Like, always check your mirror when you're driving. See who's behind you. Like,
if a car would be following me for like a weirdly amount of time and I was to drive home, I would drive past my driveway and just keep driving straight until they turned off, and then I would circle back around and go to my house.
I literally remember being like, okay, when we leave here, we should walk to our cars together.
I know. And then I bought an Apple Watch, so like you can call 911 easily. And like,
so there is a story on the CBC about a woman in Calgary who was being stalked by a man and she had no idea. So he got into her apartment one night and he had a full rape kit. Luckily she had an Apple Watch and was able to dial 911, and he got caught. And it turned out he's been stalking her for like quite some time, but she had no idea who he was, like had no clue.
So then I raced my ass down to Telus and I said, give me an Apple Watch.
It is fucked up. Like, again, the female experience. You're not getting an Apple Watch because you want this awesome piece of technology. You're getting an Apple Watch to protect yourself.
Literally. And like, I won't take, if Nick and I are like, oh, Priscilla needs to go for a walk and it's dark out, like, I don't go with him. Like, well, I shouldn't say I won't go with him.
You won't go alone.
I won't go alone. So he does it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's a crazy world.
Men have it, I mean, they do have it easier than women. I feel like a man wouldn't think twice about leaving his office, locking up, and walking to his car.
Not at all.
Not at all. Or going to sleep without their Apple Watch on. Like, it's just, it is crazy. So yeah, we should like take a self-defense class.
I know. Also another thing, so if you women listening to this have like weird experiences or whatever, I definitely recommend an Apple Watch. I also read Keep Your Spare Key by Your Bedside Table, because if you think something's wrong, press your alarm.
Oh,
and then that usually will scare off
idea.
The person. Yeah, I always do that as well.
Wow, I wonder if there's like any other tips people, like, some tips from our experience would be, yeah, like, trust your gut. Don't be, I think so many women are afraid to like call the police because they won't be taken seriously. And like, at one point you weren't taken seriously.
Yeah.
Just like, keep at it. Like, I know it sucks, but like, keep at it. Trust your instincts. Like Jane said, Apple Watch, car keys, always be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah,
trust your gut.
Because that's like the hugest thing, because if you're feeling something weird, it probably is weird. So don't feel like,
and it's in our nature to be like, oh, it's probably not,
or
but
like,
it
oh,
totally
I'm over exaggerating. Yeah. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah, be dramatic.
So I want to finish off this episode. I think on our first episode we talked about sperm donors.
Yes, for the single lady.
So I printed off. I went on spermdonorscanada.ca, or I don't know if that's the official website.
I was like, is that a real thing?
Anyways, but like I went on this website and I picked four gentlemen that I'm going to read to you their bios, and you're going to pick who you would most likely want to be.
Have a baby with.
Yeah.
A baby.
Okay. So, get to know the donor. Donor 6060.
Do they have photos?
Yeah, them as babies.
Oh.
But our printer at work is really shitty, so you can't really. I'm not even going to show you the photos. So it says like their height, their weight, everything like that. So I'll start with that and then get into their bio. Okay. So donor 6060, he is 228 pounds.
He's a big boy.
6'1".
Okay, so it might distribute well.
Medium light skin tone, hair is brown and straight, and his eye color is brown. He's Caucasian, and the ethnic background is Finnish, German, Irish, Norwegian, and Ukrainian. Occupation, field service engineer. So he's smart.
Field service? That's like what my brother does, I think.
Oh, really? Okay, then he's not that smart. No, I'm just joking.
The shade.
interests are bowling, camping, drums, hiking, swimming, and woodworking. And his favorite pet is a dog, so I kind of like him already.
Okay.
So get to know the donor. Donor 6060 is a caring man and devoted father. He has tight bonds with his family and is happiest when he is with them. He values hard work and will soon compete at soon complete a second IT degree and set up his own business. He has a very warm personality and wants to give back to those in need. He serves in the U.S. Air Force Reserves and considers it a very rewarding experience. So that is number one.
Okay.
Number two. So this is going to be donor 4947. So he's 5'11". And he's 169 pounds, medium skin tone, black straight hair, brown eyes. He's Asian with an ethnic background of Chinese. He has a degree in osteopathic medicine, and he's a doctor.
Oh.
Yep. Okay, so donor 4947 is a family physician who is very compassionate and dedicated. He is a quiet and kind-hearted, and our staff comment on his intelligence and sweet-natured personality.
Aww.
During leisure time, he is an avid reader, a talented pianist, and likes to visit his family. He is very driven and takes pride in working hard and being successful in all that he does.
Okay, okay.
That is donor number two. Also, I've already picked who I would want, so it'll be interesting to see if we think the same guy. Okay, so this is donor 6066. So he is Dutch, German, Japanese, and Swedish. He's 6'1 and 181 pounds. He has medium skin tone, brown eyes, and black and straight hair. What does he do? Oh, he's an artist.
Okay.
His interests include aviation, baseball, guitar, painting, and skiing. So donor 6066 is a creative man who loves to paint and play the guitar. Observing and creating artwork are one of his passions. He is very down to earth, relaxed, and open with others. Honesty and hard work are important to him. He is reserved and thoughtful, yet can be spontaneous and funny. He values his friends and family greatly and is very close to them.
Love it.
Okay.
Okay.
And finally, we have donor 5011. So he's Caucasian, ethnic background Portuguese. He has a degree in BBA/finance, and his occupation is a financial representative. He's 6'2, weighs 284 pounds.
Holy.
Brown eyes, medium skin tone, brown straight. That was kind of rude of you.
Sorry. That's a lot.
Well, he's 6'2".
Yeah, okay.
He's a sturdy man.
I just, like, wasn't expecting it. You went from like 160 to 300.
I know. Okay, donor 5011 is a good-natured soul with happy, optimistic demeanor. He is very competent and close with his family and feels blessed to be so fortunate.
Aww.
He is almost always dressed to impress and has a confident air about him. He is personable and outgoing. He loves to go fishing and enjoys relaxing outdoors. In his youth, he was active in sports, especially football, baseball, and wrestling. He is tall, dark, and handsome. He has beautiful thick brown hair and dark eyes. He stays active by playing lacrosse and football. And that is all we have. So we have four different men. Do you remember?
What was the, remind me of the first one again?
He's 6'1", 228 pounds. He's Caucasian. He's, his ethnic background is Finnish, German, Irish, Norwegian, and Ukrainian. Let's see. Oh, he's the one with the IT degree owns his own business with a warm personality and wants to give back.
I would be between 1 and 4.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
why?
Okay. Like the first one, I really appreciate the fact that he is a family man.
Yep. Very important.
He's married. He has kids and like, he's in the Air Force. He's clearly a hard worker and he's still working on a second degree. And it's very, well, I know these people get paid for their sperm, but it's very kind and thoughtful to think of other families who would want to use a donor.
Yep. And he was the one where his favorite pet was a dog. So that's really nice.
And he loves dogs. So I think, and he like wants to start a business. So, is that the one?
Yep. Set up his own business. Yep. That's him.
So like we are like minded. I think like if I have a child, I don't know though, I might want somebody who's like sort of the opposite of me. So it could be like me and someone else, like they get a mixture. So like, you know, I'm very creative. But I would want my, okay, anyway. So number four, I like that they're like tall, dark, and handsome. And he plays lacrosse. Like my brothers play lacrosse. So that would be something that my child could bond with their uncles over.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah. I mean, like if the child plays lacrosse.
Well, he's just like, he's athletic, right? So.
And my brothers are very athletic. So, yeah, I think that would be another thing.
So if you were to choose between 1 and 4?
4.
That was who I picked.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely 4.
And just like, yeah, he's tall,
just
dark, and handsome.
Just a disclaimer, this isn't actually happening.
Hi, it's hypothetical.
That
it's just
we know
fun.
About
yeah.
right now.
Maybe soon. I'll keep this printed off page for you just in case.
Yeah, and Jane's going to manage my baby daddy profiles.
Yeah, and he just looks so cute in this little photo. Like, you can't really... I'll have to show you on the computer tomorrow because I thought he was really cute. Nice medium skin tone, dark hair. Like,
I like that.
I know.
Okay, yeah, I'm here for that. I will keep you updated if I do happen to...
find a baby daddy.
Go the route, you know?
You never know.
You never know. I'll keep Jane updated.
This was a fun little game, though.
That was fun. I should find some for you.
Oh, my God. Okay, next episode.
Jane actually isn't going to ever do this.
No.
That we know of.
Yeah. Knock on, like, maybe I will. Who knows how life plays out.
So, thanks, everyone, for listening in this week. We had so much fun shooting the shit. Remember to stay safe.
Wear your mask. Oh my God. Okay. One more thing. I saw this thing on TikTok and it was like, this girl got a tattoo of like, I think it was in like March of 2020, like right before COVID. And the quote, I don't know what the exact quote is, but basically it stands for like, don't be anyone that you're not. Like, don't.
Yeah. Be yourself.
Yeah. Just like be yourself. Live, laugh, love, everyone. And her tattoo was like, it says something about some poetic quote, but then it ends with, and refuse to wear a mask. Isn't that so bad?
That is so bad. Please wear your masks, everyone. Like, if not for yourself, but for everyone else.
Yeah.
Or if not for everyone else, then yourself.
Yeah. And review us. We are loving the reviews. They're so, so sweet.
And subscribe.
And follow us on Instagram at Caffeine and Anxiety Podcast. Is that right?
That, I think.
Potentially that's it.
I think it's... okay, we'll say both. follow us on Instagram at the Caffeine and Anxiety Podcast.
Or at Caffeine and Anxiety Podcast, because we don't know what it is. Anyways, happy Friday and cheers to the freaking weekend, everyone.
Oh, just one more thing. We had asked our Instagram followers if they would prefer a Friday episode drop or a Monday episode drop. And it was overwhelmingly
Monday. So we're going to make the switch. We just need to figure out how to make the switch.
Yeah, we might do a mini-sode for Monday.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So keep listening and we'll get it to you. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Peace out.
Toodles.